Welcome to The Juice Today, an audio edition of The Juice that lets educators and parents stay informed about what their students are reading. To order The Juice for your classroom or family, visit us at thejuicelearning.com.
All right, so we're back for another deep dive. And, you know, we always like to take a look at what's going on in The Juice.
I think the first one that caught my eye was this whole story about Saturn.
Oh, yeah.
And all these new moons they found.
It's amazing how many they've uncovered.
Like, I don't remember the exact number, but it was a lot.
Yeah, well, they found another 128.
Wow.
Which brings the total up to 274.
274.
Moons around Saturn.
Jeez.
Which is the most of any planet in our solar system.
Okay, so like...
Like Jupiter, for example, has 95.
So when we say moon, though, are we talking like a little tiny rock, or are we talking, you know, something like...
That's a good question. The definition that scientists are using is it's any naturally occurring object that has a consistent and trackable orbit around a planet.
Mm-hmm.
So they can vary a lot in size. Some of them are only a couple miles across.
Wow.
But the key thing is they have that established orbit.
So how do they even find those little tiny things?
It's pretty amazing. They're using powerful telescopes like the Canada-France-Hawaii telescope. And they look for these subtle shifts in light patterns over time. So for instance, one way is to look for a very faint dimming of a distant star as a potential moon is passing in front of it.
Yeah.
And they also combine that with looking at the way these small bodies exert a very slight gravitational pull on the larger moons that we already know about.
I mean...
So it's a combination of those techniques.
I mean, why does Saturn have so many moons? That's the big question, right? And the leading theory is that Saturn's moon system is kind of a result of a lot of collisions that have happened over billions of years. So you have impacts between asteroids, maybe even some larger moons from earlier in the solar system's history. That creates a lot of debris.
Sure.
And then over vast amounts of time, those fragments gradually clump together or coalesce and form these smaller moons that we see today.
And you know, those are the ones that are often kind of lumpy and oddly shaped.
Exactly. Yeah. They're not like our nice round moon.
Right.
So, yeah, this huge increase. It also makes scientists think that Saturn's rings, which are, you know, incredibly famous, are actually way more dynamic than we used to think. And they might give us some clues about the very early solar system and how things were forming back then.
This might be a fun one. You know, if parents and educators are listening to this and their kids are learning about this in The Juice, you know what a cool thing to ask kids would be like? If you could name one of those moons, what would you name it?
Yeah,
what would its story be? Because, you know, they traditionally are named after these figures.
Yeah, they're Norse mythology.
Norse and Greek mythology.
But the team that was involved in this discovery, Dr. Edward Ashton's team, they actually get to choose the names for these moons.
Oh, wow.
And he was saying they need a little time to come up with 128 new names.
Yeah, they're probably a little mooned out right now.
I would think so.
Okay, so moving on to a totally different kind of story.
Sure.
The Juice was covering was about Columbia University.
Okay.
And some funding issues.
Mm-hmm.
It seems they had.
Yeah, they had this whole situation.
With the Trump administration.
With the Trump administration, yeah. Where $400 million in federal grant money was frozen.
Yeah.
It wasn't going to Columbia. And they had to agree to certain conditions to get that money released.
Right, because there were some accusations, I guess, about...
Yeah, there were allegations of anti-Semitism on campus. Stemming from some pro-Palestinian protests that happened back in 2024.
So what did Columbia have to do to kind of get back in the good graces of the administration?
The agreement involved hiring 36 more police officers for the campus and also increasing the oversight of their Middle Eastern studies programs.
They're being told to kind of keep an eye on things a little bit more.
Yeah. And this seems to be part of a trend that's been going on where the Trump administration has been linking federal funding for universities to them achieving certain policy goals that they have. We saw something similar with the University of Pennsylvania and some issues regarding transgender athletes.
Mm-hmm.
Look, so obviously.
So it's raising a question about.
There's a lot of controversy around this.
How much influence should the government have, you know, using these financial levers?
And this civil rights attorney, Tyler Coward, he suggested that there will likely be some legal challenges.
Oh, really?
To these actions.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact,
so it's probably not over.
Probably not over, no. And apparently up to 60 other colleges
Wow.
had also been warned by the Trump administration about potential funding cuts related to their handling of anti-Semitic harassment on campus.
So this could be a good one for older students to think about.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
You know, what role should the government have
right.
in dictating rules for schools and universities?
It brings up those big issues of, you know, autonomy and accountability right. and freedom of speech,
yeah.
academic freedom.
All that kind of stuff. Okay, so let's see. Let's move to something a little more
okay.
uplifting.
A little more positive.
Yeah. The Juice was talking about this kindness challenge.
Oh, yeah. That was a cool story.
That a teacher started.
Hmm.
And it all kind of came from...
a really interesting place.
Yeah.
It started with this English teacher, Christina Ulmer.
Okay.
And her late sister had actually left behind $100.
Wow.
And they were talking about the book Fahrenheit 451 in class.
Okay.
And it got her thinking about empathy and about, you know...
generosity.
And how those two things kind of go together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
So she had this idea for a kindness challenge,
mm-hmm.
and she actually added to her sister's $100 and gave each student $20 to go out and do some act of kindness.
And what were some of the things they did?
Well, there were some students that knitted caps for premature babies.
Ah.
Some left a really big tip at a restaurant.
That's nice.
Some were giving out donuts to people just, you know, randomly.
So it wasn't like they were... you
know, no, it wasn't
solving that. World hunger or anything, but it was just
right. But it was just these little
acts of kindness,
little gestures.
Gestures.
And the students were so into it that she actually turned it into a twice a year event.
Oh, wow.
And now it's supported through donations.
That's great.
So it's become this tradition. And one of the students, Sydney Cassell, was quoted as saying, "You don't have to have millions. Anyone can make a difference."
That's great. And I love that idea of just sort of planting that seed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in younger kids,
yeah, yeah,
that even small things can
absolutely
can kind of ripple outwards.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, speaking of things that ripple outwards, that was the nice segue into
okay
this JFK story.
Oh, the JFK files?
Yeah, because there was a bunch of newly released documents.
Hmm.
So they've been keeping these things classified for years and years and years.
Years and years, yeah.
And now all of a sudden they're like, okay, here's...
take a look.
Take a look, everybody.
Mm-hmm.
So, what did we learn? Anything new?
Well, the historians that have been poring over these documents are saying that they don't really contradict the official findings.
So, still Lee Harvey Oswald acting alone.
That Lee Harvey Oswald was the lone gunman?
Yeah.
But, of course, you know, this is JFK.
Right.
And there are all kinds of theories.
Oh, my God.
That have been swirling around for decades.
Yeah.
About multiple gunmen and CIA.
The mafia.
Newswise.
Soviets.
Everybody. So even though these documents are giving us more information, they're probably not going to put all of those debates to rest.
No, I was going to say, there are people that are...
conspiracy theorists are going
to... keep digging.
To keep digging, yeah.
Yeah, and Philip Chenian, who has written a lot about the assassination,
okay.
he said the chase for the truth will likely go on.
Mm, mm.
But there were some problems with the release of these documents.
Oh, really? Yeah. Unfortunately, some personal information got exposed. Social security numbers of over 400 people, including some who are still living.
Oops.
So, yeah, that was a...
little bit of an oversight there.
A bit of an oversight. Also, they're saying that these documents contain a lot of details about what the CIA was up to in the 1960s, especially related to Cuba.
Mm, mm.
So it kind of adds...
gives us a little more context.
More context to what was going on in the world at that time.
So, you know, it would be interesting to ask students about this. Is like, why do you think people are still so fascinated
right.
by events that happened such a long time ago?
Mm-hmm.
And why is it so hard sometimes to agree on what really happened?
It really gets at the nature of historical interpretation and evidence.
Yeah, yeah.
And how we try to piece together the past.
And I think, you know, that's something that I don't think we do a good enough job of teaching in school. Mm. Just the idea that history...
it's not just a set of facts.
It's not just names and dates.
Right.
Right?
It's messy.
It's messy.
It's interpretation.
Yeah, so there you go. So thanks for joining us for this deep dive.
Mm-hmm.
And we will be back
soon
with more explorations into the world of the Jews.
Sounds good.
All right.
See you then.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to this overview of the Juice Today. Students read these stories at their own reading levels to improve their comprehension, vocabulary, critical thinking, and more. Learn more at thejuicelearning.com.